All right. Man, it is good to be here today. Thank y'all for all being here and joining us today. Man, y'all know I say it a lot, but I'm gonna keep on saying it. Y'all could have been a lot of places, but y'all ended up here. And there's a different reason for every person for being here. Man, some of y'all were invited by a friend, and so you came. Man, some of y'all came here because y'all were looking for something. Man, some of y'all have been coming for years. It's what you do every Sunday. Man, some of y'all came because it's what you knew you needed exactly to jumpstart your brand week. Man, some of y'all, to be honest, you came kicking and screaming and you were drug here. And teenagers, it's okay. You're going to survive, all right? But no matter how you got here, I don't want you to overlook the fact that it was God who orchestrated all the events that got you in the pew today. God is the real reason that you are here this morning. So please don't zone out this morning. Instead, zone in on what he wants to do in your life today. And just in case you couldn't already tell by the songs that we've been singing or by the lessons that Miss Denise and her Ridge 5-6ers knocked out of the park earlier, man, and if you can't read on the screen, man, let me be the one that reminds you that Christmas season is upon us, all right? Christmas season is upon us. Elbow your neighbor and let them know that in case they don't know. Let them know Christmas season is upon us, all right? Man, it's all upon us, all right? Man, Christmas is that time of year when people everywhere are preparing for something great. Have you thought about that? Decorations are being unpacked, presents are being bought, lights are being strung, but church family, as we lead into this Christmas season, we want to focus on the real purpose and potential that this time has for each one of us. Because the reality is that Christmas is way more than just an event. It's the event. In fact, it's the Advent. And we are celebrating the Advent of Christ's birth. For us, this Advent season is where we stand right in the middle of two realities. Man, Advent means the arrival or the coming of. And as believers, we're reminded that there was an arrival. And today, I hope through this Advent message, we can continue to get a glimpse of just how advantageous this time can be for us. See what I did there, Denise? She's laughing because I use that word a lot, but I misuse that word a lot. And so she always has to correct it when I try to use it. But this time I looked it up in the dictionary and it says advantageous is creating a favorable circumstance that is beneficial. And that's exactly what Christ's coming did for mankind, right? Hello, think about it. Man, we had the fall of man. We are separated from God because of sin. But God made a way when he sent us his son, Jesus Christ. There was a long expected coming that took place many years ago, the birth of Christ. And as Christians, we look back on what has happened, but we don't stop there. Man, we continue to look forward to what will happen. We know that there was an arrival that already happened through Christ's birth, and there will be an arrival when that second coming of Christ happens. And so here we are. We're waiting in the midst of this tension, looking back in remembrance on everything that has happened, but we're still looking forward, and we're longing, and we have expectation on what is to come. And so last week, we began our Advent series with Pastor Joel taking us through the passage found in Matthew chapter 1 as we looked at the Christmas story with the focus on Joseph. And as we continue to walk into the heart of Christmas season today, man, I want us to reflect on the remarkable story that's found in Luke chapter 2. We'll be focusing on verses 8 through 20. And we'll be focusing on the shepherds because it was the shepherds that received the greatest message in the universe. So I want y'all to go ahead and turn, tap, or scroll your way to Luke chapter 2. We'll be starting in verse 8. And as you get there, just remember, if you're trying to get there, the big numbers are the chapters, the small numbers are the verses. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you're sitting by somebody that can share with you. Man, if neither one of y'all have a Bible, grab one out of the pew. Use it today. Dust it off and put it to good use. And take it home as a free gift from our church to you. And again, continue to put that thing to good use. But now, before we jump into the text together, man, let me ask you to join me in praying three things. Let's pray that God would speak to us today. And let's pray that we would listen to what he has to say today. And then third, let's pray that that truth would set us free. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would do those three things. God, we say it all the time. Those things are easy to say, but they're hard to walk out. And that's why we are asking you for help today. God, that's why we call out to you with our brothers and sisters in one accord, that you would speak to us today. God, speak loud and clear. We want a message from you today. God, we pray that as you speak loud and clear, you would allow us to listen. God, please eliminate the distractions. God, don't let us be a distraction. Don't let us miss out on the truth that you have today. God, let us hear. And God, as you speak loud and clear, God, as you allow us to hear, God, we pray that that truth would set us free. God, let your truth set us free from the sin that so easily entangles us. God, let it set us free from the sin that weighs us down. God, set us free from the sin in our life. God, let us leave here differently because of the work that you do in our hearts today. God, I pray that you would allow us to leave here and talk to our coworkers differently. God, I pray that that change would allow us to leave here and see people in our community differently. God, I pray that that change would allow us to start even seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ in the same community, in the same church that we serve in, differently. Let us see people the way that you see them. God, we need your help in all this, and we ask all these things in your son's name. And everybody says, amen. Like I said, if you have your Bible, we're going to be camping out in the book of Luke, chapter 2. So follow along with me, starting at verse 8. The text will be on the screen as well. Starting at verse 8, it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things up, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Church family, I love this passage. I think this passage illustrates something that we can all relate to, because I know that we live in a world that loves to give and receive messages. Man, we're always sending people messages. Man, just the other day, our mailbox has been filled with birthday cards. I had a birthday. Shannon had a birthday. Mackenzie's about to have a birthday. And then Parker's will follow. Man, we send each other text messages left and right. We send emails all day long. You may even still use sticky notes if you're old school like that, all right? Man, on social media, we're snapping snaps and we're tweeting tweets and we're sending direct messages. We're sending each other DMs. But the message that we just read about, it wasn't no DM, all right? It was actually an M&M. It was a miraculous message because of who delivered it, because of what was said, and because what it caused the people to do. And man, I love this passage because it reminds us all of how God chose to announce the birth of his son to a group of humble shepherds, the biggest announcement in the world, delivered to shepherds. Man, this choice teaches us so much about God's heart and about his plans for us. And so if you want to write things down, you can write this. But the first point that I want you to leave with today is that God values the unseen. I'm going to say it one more time. God values the unseen. See, God looks at things differently than how we look at them. He sees people differently than how we see them. And in verse 8, it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them." Man, God values the unseen. See, living in the city, our house is so close to L3 Harris that our nights, man, they're neither quiet or dark. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, I can step out through my front door, I can walk out to the mailbox in the middle of the night, and it's not that quiet because we can hear cars driving right down 1570. Man, if it's the right night of the weekend, we can hear those race cars zooming around that dirt track off of 1903. And if it's even the darkest of dark, it's really not that dark out in front of my house because there's a combination of street lights, and then L3 Harris is this glow, this glowing orb just a couple blocks down the road. They don't ever turn the lights off. I don't know what their electricity bill's like, but it must be high. But that's why I love when my son and I had the opportunity to go camping out at Man Camp. Because when we set up our tent, that real big tent that's like only about this big, and the two of us try to fit in it, and we step out of that tent, and we find ourselves in the middle of nowhere, out in a field that's dark and quiet and so peaceful. And that's probably what these shepherds were experiencing, but then interrupting this quiet, dark night was the shining presence of an angel who brought forth the glory of the Lord. Man, this first angel brought and delivered this epic birth announcement. Like some translations say that he brought good tidings, all right? Man, the ESV says he brought the good news. That literally means he preached the gospel to these shepherds. To these shepherds. You know, shepherds were regarded as social outcasts. Man, the class shepherds, they had this bad reputation. They had a habit of confusing mine with thine as they moved about the country, claiming land and allowing things to graze over it. They were outcasts. They were considered unreliable. They were not even allowed to even give testimony in the courts of law. They were the lowest of lows. They were often marginalized in society. They were treated as insignificant, and they were seen as these lowly characters. Yet, they were the very ones that God chose to receive this momentous news. Man, this highlights what God sees as significance, and it highlights that God sees that significance in those who are often unseen. Man, he sees people who the world looks down upon, who the world says has no value, and yet he gives them the biggest news in all of eternity. Man, after this single angel's announcement, we keep on reading, and a whole group of angels then appeared. It calls it this heavenly host, this band of soldiers. They proclaim peace. And y'all know the saying, as much as things change, it really stays the same. See, the world back then, they needed the message of peace, just as we need the message of peace today. And so, church family, I want us to consider, how often do we overlook those around us? How often do we not see the needs of people that are the closest to us? Maybe people that we work with, maybe people that we go to church with, maybe even people that we live with, maybe people that we drive by, that we walk past. This season, church family, let's intentionally reach out to those who might feel forgotten. Man, a simple act of kindness to a cashier or a phone call to a lonely friend, those things can shine his light in unexpected places. And if you see that somebody is missing today, look around. If you notice somebody that sits close to you but they're not here today, text them, reach out to them. You know, we've been saying the elders and the deacons are trying to contact everybody in the church. Church family, what if that didn't become an elder and a deacon thing, but that just became a church body thing, where we all got into the church directory and we all cared for one another and we all checked up on one another? See, for many people, the holiday season is full of heartache. It's full of loneliness. Let's connect with one another. Man, we're better together. The second thing that I want us to take from this passage today is God calls us to immediate action. Listen to what happens in verse 15. When the angels went away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And there's one phrase that I can't stand at my house, and it goes like this: "Okay, one second." Ooh, man, I hate that phrase, but I'm probably the most guilty for using it. I don't want to stand up here and fake like a parent, like I hate when my kids say that, because I know that that would be hypocritical, because I know that my son has said, "Hey, let's go shoot some hoops." "Okay, one second." I know that my daughter has said, "Hey, can you come look at this?" "Okay, one second." And the reason why that phrase is so frustrating is because y'all know one second is never just one second. It's not even just one Mississippi. It's not even just one minute. It's really just, hey, let me keep on doing what I'm doing for a little bit longer, and the little bit longer turns into so much longer that I forgot that I needed to stop what I was doing to go see what you needed, and so I just continue to do what I was doing in the first place. But in verses 15 and 16, we see that the shepherds, they didn't debate, they didn't deliberate, they didn't say, okay, one second. They didn't try to figure things out and get a plan. Man, they hurried up, they left, and they went and found Jesus Christ. Man, their eagerness in response to God's message, it showcases the genuine obedience that involves immediate action. Joel talked about that last week. We saw that in Joseph's testimony. Man, he immediately obeyed. Man, this was a strange sight. That's sometimes a strange sight for us too. But speaking of strange sights, they were given a specific sign to go look for. The angels told them in verse 12, "Look for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Man, it wasn't an unusual sign to see a baby wrapped up in swaddling cloths. The unusual part was that it was going to be in a manger, a feed trough. But man, what a beautiful sight it had to be that the shepherds, who possibly protected and cared for the lambs that were used in the temple sacrifice, were the first to be able to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Man, that's a beautiful sight. Church family, when we hear God's call, are we quick to act? Man, I want to challenge you this week to let's start practicing saying yes to God. Let's not say, okay, one second. Man, let's say yes to him. Let's immediately start moving. Man, maybe we do like Pastor Nick said last week in the midweek co-ed class. Let our identity overflow into our activity. Man, whether it's handling, maybe it's just handing out holiday baskets like Joe talked about on the 21st. Man, maybe it's volunteering to help make the live nativity take place. Or maybe it's just sharing a kind word to somebody that you work with. Let's let our actions reflect our faith. Remember, it's better to say okay and get to work instead of just saying okay, one second. And then the third and last point is this. God empowers us to share. God empowers us to share. Listen to how this passage ends. And when they saw it, you know, they heard this message, right? And they didn't deliberate. They didn't lollygag. They went and found what they were told to go see. And it says right here in verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Church family, the shepherds' encounter with Jesus transformed their lives. Man, the encounter with Jesus transformed their lives, guys. Man, we got to understand that it took them from social outcast and turned them into the first evangelist, all right? Man, can you picture that? They were like the societal nobodies, the rejects, but now they've been given the biggest job to proclaim the greatest message ever, and that's exactly what they did. Man, they left there and they were messengers of the good news. They didn't keep it to themselves. Man, they shared it with everyone that they encountered. Church family, we've been entrusted to be able to do the same thing with the message of Christ and love and the message of salvation. So let's not keep it to ourselves. Man, let's reach out to friends and family this Christmas. Let's utilize opportunities to share what Christmas is all about, the gift of Jesus Christ. Man, we need to be willing to ask ourselves, are we faithfully sharing the joy of Christ with other people? And if we're not doing that, we need to get busy. Guys, if you see an unbelievable game, you tell people about it. Joe got his heart broken last night when SMU lost in the last seconds. And he sent the text to the wrong group. And he said, oh, man, this is breaking our heart. And I replied back, and he said, oh, my bad, wrong group there, all right? Man, when you see something unbelievable, you tell somebody about it. Y'all do the same thing on Facebook. Man, y'all see something that y'all think is cute or funny, y'all share it, and y'all let people know about it. But man, what we're talking about isn't some viral meme that is just spread all over the internet because it's funny. Man, we're talking about the greatest news of all time. We're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Man, let it be a part of our conversational topics every single day that we have breath in our lungs. And when we talk about it, man, don't let it be a whisper. Let it be a joyful noise, one that rings loud for all to hear. Man, today, I brought something with me. I got this cute little small yellow bell. It's not very loud. In fact, Man, the reason why I brought this with me is I want this bell to represent our voice when we talk about Jesus, all right? I want to show y'all the power of this small bell. Listen. Y'all hear that? Now check this out. As I ring that bell, you'll notice it travels and fills up this entire room. Man, this one small bell has the power to fill up this entire worship center. Man, it's powerful. And so this represents one person sharing the gospel of Christ in the holidays. But look what happens when it goes beyond just this one person sharing and we have somebody else sharing too. Look what happens when we add a few more people sharing the gospel message. Look what happens when we share a little bit more. Look what happens when more people share, and more people share, and more people share, and more people share. Y'all listen to that? What was once a small ring is now a tremendous ring, all right? Let's put our little ringers down. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all give those kids a hand. I know it's a small and simple example, but just as those sounds of those small bells can reach far and wide in a room this big, our voices can carry the message of God's love and joy to our families, to our friends, and to our community this Christmas season. So, church family, man, as a reminder, God values the unseen. Every person matters to God, and I love that. Man, God calls us to immediate action. So let's not just say, okay, 1 minute, but let's respond to his call with urgency. And God empowers us to share. Man, we all have a story to tell. So let's go. Let's tell it. Let's go tell it on the mountain. Let's go tell it over the hills. Let's go tell it everywhere. Let's go tell everyone that Jesus Christ is born. Let's go tell them how salvation comes through Christ. Let's go tell them that salvation brings peace. Let's go tell them that that peace is peace with God, peace with man, and peace with ourselves. Let's be inspired by the shepherds as we embody their humility, their courage, and their willingness to go tell it and tell it well. Man, let's pray for courage to respond, eyes to see the value of everybody around us, and a joy, and just the ability to make a joyful noise, a message of hope and peace to share with those that we come in contact with this Christmas season, okay? Man, y'all bow your heads. We're gonna go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I want to pray for our church family today. God, I pray for those who came and they were seeking something. God, I pray that what they understood that they needed was you. God, I pray that if they came to be entertained, man, they didn't find it. God, if they came to find some body speak with some eloquent words, man, they probably didn't find that. But God, what I pray is that they found your message proclaimed from your truth. And God, I pray that that truth would set us free. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ this Christmas season. God, I pray that we will understand that you see those differently than we see them. God, you see the unseen. And God, I pray for the people in here that feel invisible, that feel like they're not seen. Man, let them know that, God, let them know that you see them. God, I pray that if somebody here needs prayer, God, they would utilize this time to respond at the altar. God, if somebody, man, just needs to come and just make confession, God, the altar is open. God, if there's somebody who, man, they don't know you, man, they're missing the greatest gift of all time. God, I pray that they would come and speak to one of the pastors here at the front. God, please be glorified by our worship. God, let your spirit do the speaking in our hearts, and give us the feet to respond. In your name we ask all these things. Amen.